Welcome, everyone, to What the Force. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, your host, and with me to cover all of the trailers and special looks of Willow is Missy. Welcome back, Missy. Yeah. You have become, I guess, super obsessed. I mean, I've been obsessed with Willow the movie. That's what I've been focusing on because we were really digging into it. And I started doing a ton of posts on Willow. And you were like really deep diving into the trailers and the upcoming stuff. And I've only seen, I think, the one trailer. So I may be a bit live reaction to some of these things, but that's okay.
I think that's a good thing.
I'm glad you think so. Our intention today is actually to talk through the teaser, the trailer, and the special look in advance of Willow coming out very, very shortly, November 30th, just kind of to get us all hyped and psyched for what we're going to be seeing, the journeys we're going to be on, all of the different aspects. I'm very much looking forward to this show. After we did our Willow movie deep dive, which I highly, highly recommend you go back and listen to if you have not. Willow, it does things Missy and I personally wanted out of Star Wars for 40 plus years.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. So let's dig into the teaser, which actually came out 5 months ago. It was wild. It's been out for a really long time.
Yeah, I feel like the hype has been kind of a slow build for this show, which in fairness, there's a lot of other amazing sci-fi fantasy shows out right now or recently, which is great, We're getting so much high quality sci-fi fantasy and I love it.
All right, let's dig into the teaser.
There is a story of a child destined to be an empress.
Ooh.
And the unlikely hero who would protect her.
There is a balance between all things, light and shadow, good and evil. Balance is upset. The universe corrects.
The world needs you again. It needs your magic.
Into the unknown. That's where we must go.
Wow. There is a balance between all things, light and dark. And when it is upset, the universe corrects.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just going to put it out there now because I'm going to keep coming back to this refrain over and over again. But this show looks super, super, super The Last Jedi. Very, very, very The Last Jedi. A lot.
There's a lot of the same terminology.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. We're here for it. Yep. And we need you. We need your magic, which, I mean, this is one thing that you and I have talked about, which is always like, okay, so Willow's actually going to be taking on the role of like old mentor in this, but even though the title of the show will be Willow, it's going to be about these young stories of these newer generation of heroes that are coming along to help and support, you know, what needs to be done, which we don't have a good impression of what needs to happen yet, but there is some high fantasy action happening.
Oh yeah.
Even in that trailer.
For sure. Definitely. I think it's gonna build so well on the film, in my opinion. I think that, you know, there's a lot of evidence that they took everything that was just little, you know, small kernels in the original film and then they just ran with it. It looks really cool.
Absolutely. I loved a few like key moments that we saw just specifically with Willow. We see his staff, the crystal in it, glow. I know I've seen some behind the scenes art or screen, like screen grabs provided by Disney themselves. And you actually see like sort of like light coming out of that. It's mm-hmm. a green light, which is, there's a long history of having green light be Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's coming out of Willow's staff, I wonder what that means. I hope it's just that he happens to have like the equivalent of a green lightsaber in the
mm-hmm.
in the Star Wars universe.
Well, and don't yeah. forget the Mother Talzin and the Night Sisters. Their magic was green as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's very oppositional to the magic that we actually saw in the movie, which was more elemental based, unless it took in transfiguration.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was lightning, it was snow, it was fire, it was more elemental mm-hmm. based that we saw with the older Finn Rizzell and Bab Morda fighting.
Yes. Well, and there's a lot of the way that it's wielded, at least in the, you know, certainly in this teaser and in a, you know, what we'll see later in some of the other trailers, it's definitely wielded in more of a combat style, which is very interesting. And I'm curious where they go with that. I don't know if that means that they are shifting to more emphasis on combat or if that's, you know, if they're actually going to be setting that up to deliberately undermine that and continue with the theme that, you know, care magic, like mm. the way that Willow used it in the film, is still more powerful than violence. I will be very interested to see where they go with that. I have my theories.
Yeah. And, you know, we get that theme compounded in the movie with Mad Mardigan and always seeking a sword, but he ends up being a defender instead of being an aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes as well. Was there anything else that you saw in this that you really want to call out?
Yeah, I think there's a few things, just because we're going to see them come up again later in the other trailers. One is that we did see a shot of what looks like a ruined city. It's not clear what that city is. Is that a known location from the film? Is that a new location? It's really not obvious, but it just is this massive, massive city, much bigger than any of the locations we saw in the film. And it's completely in ruins. And there even appears to be sort of a dust cloud traveling over it. So it's, you know, something has gone terribly wrong. So that goes really well with Willow's quote about the world being out of balance and something is wrong. Mm. And so, you know, obviously, as much as we love the happily ever after from the original film, something has clearly gone very wrong and needs to be fixed. So that's one. There's also a shot of Shailendria's wand in a box. It looks like it's been well cared for. I'm going to guess that Willow is still in possession of it and that at some point he is going to offer it to a protege to train them.
And we see actually a shot of like a fighting training circumstance in one of mm-hmm. the screen grabs that Disney offered. And a younger person, I literally cannot tell who that person is, except it is not our red-haired friend who I don't know the name of yet.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to who the characters are, but that character's name is Aaron Kellyman.
Yeah, Aaron Kellyman or the guy who we don't have a name for his character yet, who was mm-hmm. in the Spider-Man trilogy, the more recent Spider-Man trilogy,
yeah.
Flash, mm-hmm. which I can look up the actor's name, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those two. And so it's mm-hmm. somebody else. And I wonder if it's maybe Kit.
I think I know who it is, but okay. I'll wait and give my full theory once we've seen everything.
Okay, great. Another kind of just made my mythological heart sing was a direct gate, a very obvious gate into the unknown.
Yes.
Like we see this sort of like force field magical surround, and then this gate mm-hmm. of these two people that are kind of touching almost in the middle, and inside mm-hmm. of the gate you can just like walk through. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we've got a threshold. And literally at that point you like hear like into the unknown, like you're
yes,
this is where we're going.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so We know our mythological archetypes and our symbols really, really clearly. And there's no lying about it. This is what it is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's actually something I really enjoyed about these trailers is that, I mean, granted, there are, of course, mysteries. But based on the way everything is presented, I feel pretty strongly that we're not going to be looking at a ton of mystery boxes in this show. I think it's going to be fairly straightforward, just like the movie was. Yeah. And so I will see. Of course, I could be wrong. And I know that the trend nowadays is definitely to have, you know, big mysteries all the way through the season. But I think it'll be interesting if they're a little more straightforward with it. We'll see.
Yeah. And if they're more on the nose, it does exactly what, you know, Willow says, which is like his kids are like, oh, you're going to go and fight dragons and trolls. And what about pixies and brownies? And, you know, and he goes and fight, you know, faces all of those things. It's I wonder if we'll get more of those sorts of callbacks where things that they say happen will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Another thing I want to point out is that it's hard to tell unless you slow it down, which I did because I'm crazy. But Aaron Kellerman's character, again, named Jade, is seen in a mask. In sort of an attacking stance. And this was interesting to me, not just because I'm wondering why is she in a mask and at what point in the story is this? I'm assuming it's her introduction, but who knows, right? But what's so interesting about this to me is she's worn a mask in her other recent roles as well. She wore a mask as Enfys Nest and she wore a mask as the villain Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
So I find this very interesting that she kind of keeps playing these masked characters. And I would love to kind of dig into that once we get the show and understand, you know, how this mask is being used. Because obviously masks are super important in Star Wars as well, especially in the sequel
trilogy. They really are. Yeah. Masks are really, really important across the board because like there's the entire point is to take it off. And there's a lot of cool symbolism associated with masks.
Yes, definitely. There also are a bunch of trolls in this. I did laugh a little bit at the trolls because they don't look all that different from the people in hairy suits in the original film, which made me laugh. I think they just decided they couldn't really update that. So they were like, sure, whatever. Let's use those suits. But I was excited to see them back.
Yay. We also see a sort of shot of Tara's lean and with Sorsha, you know, wearing a crown. She has taken on being the ruler of Tirith Lean. But we do not see, from what we can tell, Alora Dannon.
It's very true. We don't. Although, again, I have a theory.
Okay.
And I think because we're showing these trailers or we're watching these trailers in chronological order of when they were released. And I think they've really tipped their hand the longer it's gone on about Alora. But yes, she is notably absent. Also, it's not really clear to me if that is Tira's Lean. I think it is. That's what makes the most sense. But it could also be Galadorn because that was Mad Mardigan's original home. And if Alora is missing, then maybe they're not in Tira's Lean.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm not clear on that. And especially given that we saw a ruined city, I wonder what that ruined city is and if that has anything to do with where they are. It's also not clear to me because I think that, you know, you see Sorsha sitting at like the high table in this hall and she's got a crown and she's dressed in gold, which again, I love because, you know, we talked about in our in our episode about the film, you know, that there does seem to be an association with the ruler of Tirith Lean wearing gold. But you see her and everyone in the hall stands up and shouts something and I can't tell what they're saying. So if anyone out there can understand what they're saying, please tell me because I can't tell.
It's pretty exciting in general. Like they've done a really good job of using the James Horner themes that were originally made for the movie. It brings us right back into the adventure. The teaser is super successful, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes. There's also a moment, and I forget what the voiceover is at the point that they say it, but in quick succession, they show three couples in a row. So it looks like we're going to get at least three romances. And the first one is they show Jade and who we know to be Kit, and we'll get into this later who Kit is, but Kit is the brunette woman or girl, I guess.
She has short hair.
Yeah, she has short, dark hair and everything. And so, yay, lesbian romance here. All right.
We're here
for it. This will be exciting. So yeah, so that's there. They look like they're about to kiss. So you're just like, oh, wow. Okay. That's exciting. And then you see the blonde girl and a young man. And I know who both of them are, but I'll just leave it at that for now. You see them also in kind of a romantic scenario. They're in front of a fireplace. They might be sitting on a bed or something. It definitely is romantically charged. And then the third couple that you see is a woman who, based on other context, appears to be part of some tribe that might capture them, but then ally with them or something like that. And
yeah, and the taller guy, who's
a member of their you know, party that's going Willow off on this
team.
Adventure.
Team Willow.
Yes, Team Willow. Yes, let's do that. We'll call them Team Willow. So the tall guy as the member of Team Willow. And they seem to have a thing as well. Which is
flirty banter. Yeah.
Yes. It's referenced in some of the other trailers. So anyway, so like I said, looks like minimum of three possible romances here, which is super exciting.
We're here for it. There could be more that we just are unaware of. I know Willow hugs somebody in the trailer as well. That may be his daughter, or
it is his daughter. Okay. And not only is it his daughter,
it's his real daughter.
It's his real daughter.
It's Warwick Davis's real daughter.
Yes, her name is Annabelle, and she plays Mims, who was the adorable little girl who is his daughter in the film. And oh my gosh. And I definitely recommend watching interviews with them from D23 because they are so cute. And it's so funny because you can see, like, she actually says to him one time, she's like, "Dad, you're so cool." And he's just like overwhelmed. I mean, when your kid calls you cool, that's just like the greatest feeling ever.
I'm so glad for Warwick Davis to be able to actually like lead a series. Like, I'm over the moon. Mm-hmm. This is such a good opportunity, you know, and it all just started so long ago, and I'm happy that this is happening, and I hope it just becomes so successful.
Fingers crossed.
We'll do our part by talking about it. Yes. Any other thoughts on this teaser?
Not for the moment. Each additional trailer adds more context, so I'm excited to move on to the next one.
All right.
You think you know what is real and what isn't. What is light? What is dark? Now, forget all you know. Come with me. Willow.
We're looking for the sorcerer, Willow. I was told that once long ago you defeated the forces of evil.
You remind me of your mother.
My dear friend, I thought I could prevent all this. I was wrong.
My brother was abducted. The world needs you again. It needs your magic.
Follow me. We must go beyond the edge of our world into the unknown.
Willow!
I need your help.
Just like old times. Running! Horses! Mayhem! Mayhem! Happy to see Andy.
Our true enemy is still out there, rallying the forces of evil. And the only thing standing in its path is us.
I'm going to enjoy this.
If you think you're what I'm thinking, so am I.
I doubt that very much. Take him to my tent and make sure he's tied up.
I don't know. See, that kind of sounds like we're on the same page.
When I was a kid, I used to play at being a sorcerer. Visiting strange worlds, fighting monsters.
Run!
Never thought I'd actually really do it.
What the hell is that?
Trolls. I'm so miffed.
We have to hurry.
How will you defeat us?
Same as last time. With my friends.
Well, that was a presentation of epic proportions and really gets your blood going. Where do we want to start?
Oh my God. All right. Like, there's just so much great stuff here. I mean, Okay, before we get started, I do wish everyone here could actually see Marie Claire's face while this is going on, because your reactions were fantastic. I loved them.
I've been told that me watching Star Wars is a spectator sport.
Nice.
And I feel like that now goes to Willow as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a good time. But yeah, so we get more of the plot, at least the basics, in this trailer, which is really great. So we know that, you know, again, we have Kit, who is, we now know who she is, because he says, oh, you remind me of your mother. Her mother is Sorsha. Mm-hmm. And she has a brother. He's not named in here, but I'm just going to let everyone know his name is apparently Eric, which is hilarious because that means we have another Prince Eric now in Disney, which is great.
But it's probably spelled the way of Mad Margan's best friend, right?
R-I-K. Yeah, I didn't really think about that, but it probably is.
It makes sense that mm-hmm. he would name his son after his bestie.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Who sacrificed his life to like save him and stuff like that.
That totally makes sense. So yeah, so it's Kit and Eric. And, you know, they're twins. I think they're twins. Actually, it doesn't say. It just says they're brother and sister. So they may not be twins, but I think they're twins.
I believe they're twins. Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So,
Luke and Leia.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. It's Luke and Leia, but it's been swapped because now he's been captured and she has to go on a journey to rescue him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that. It's cool. Eric and Kit, and, you know, Kit has sort of started to gather allies and has come to find Willow and ask for his help so that they can find her and rescue her brother. And so it's really great that we get some basics there. We see a little more of Sorsha, and we even see her at one point wielding a sword in defense of Kit. So, you know, we see she's still a warrior and she's defending her child or her children. Yeah. And I just want to throw it out there right now, just to say it. We had better see Sorsha reunited with her children the way Leia should have been with Ben.
I agree. Mm-hmm. There's a shot right at the start of the trailer of what looks like Eric the Prince in the middle of some sort of ritual or something where his head is resting on the lap of somebody else.
Yeah. Can't tell what's happening there. It's not clear at all.
He looks like he's passed out or something, but it looks like maybe the key to whatever evil is up to is part of, I hope, some sort of dark union.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very likely. I mean, the whole thing is obviously going to have to be that the darkness is not defeated. You know, like Vav Morda being defeated in the film was clearly not the end. And so, you know, something else now is threatening them, and we have to understand what it is. So, and they've, you know, someone has captured him. Presumably they want to use him for something. There's a lot of possibilities. So we'll see.
We also see fairly early on in the trailer, a kiss between him and our blonde maiden, who is named Dove. And we heard that actually at Celebration. So that's been like public knowledge for a little while. She's actually like a maid in the castle, and they have like a hidden romance.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's the reason she's going on this adventure to get her boyfriend back.
Yeah. And we'll go into a little more detail about her later, because there's more revealed about her in the final trailer that we're going to watch. Mm-hmm. But her being a kitchen maid does seem to be very important. And right now, it appears to me to play the same role as Willow's background as a farmer did in the film. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot of parallels there. The fact that she's, you know, she works in the kitchen, and she apparently does not have combat skill like the other members of the party. All she can really do is cook.
Which, on an adventuring party, somebody to cook is actually important.
It's true. And that's the whole point, right? Is that we already saw the value of care work in the original film. And so they're clearly going to be continuing that, or it seems that they're going to be continuing that in the show. So I'm actually, again, very excited to see a lot of these themes popping back up in here.
Absolutely. You know, we have a longer in-depth conversation, like you mentioned, about having, you know, Willow introduce himself to the party, etc., and sort of the Nelwyn, you know, there's a great deal of respect for Willow from this younger generation, which is really, really mm-hmm. interesting. And yeah. I'm sort of looking forward to seeing.
But that's also why I'm wondering what's happened to him in the intervening years. Because, again, like there's so many parallels to Rey coming to find Luke in TLJ that I'm just kind of wondering, is there something that has caused Willow to retreat a bit? Is there a reason that he's, you know, still hanging out on his farm and doesn't seem to be very engaged? You know, has he gone on other adventures since his last one? I'm wondering what parallel happened. Are you thinking
like he came back to train Allura and she went to the dark side like Kylo?
No, I don't think that actually. So that I'll just say I've seen that around. That's a popular theory. I don't think that. I don't think anything in these trailers supports that personally.
That's because like in the Shadow Chronicles, there is like a shadow version of Allura that exists and she becomes the bad guy.
Yes. Now, do I think that if Allura is revealed that, you know, there is the potential for her to turn dark? I do. I don't think that we will start the story in that place, but we'll see. We'll see. But I don't think so. It's also, I think another thing I want to point out here is that sometimes things are ambiguous or unclear because I think we might get some flashbacks and maybe even some visions. So some of the things we're seeing may not happen during the main events of the Willow series. They may have, right. They may be flashbacks.
They may have happened in the past or,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
We get a longer explanation of what it means to go through the gate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. which is great. We get another shot of the gate and it looks so cool. The gate itself looks so cool. Yeah.
I love it. And also, yeah, that looks amazing. It's very cool. Just this archway in this force field, you know, and I think it's specifically at the same time as he says something about going beyond the edge of our world. So which we've seen the map of the world that they live in, you know, Marie Claire found that when we discussed the film. And so presumably we're talking about going off the edge of that map and into worlds that have not heretofore been part of the Willow universe.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, is there a difference between, you know, why this sort of magical force field exists and
like
what is beyond that, you know? And it's just a really cool thing. They have a cool shot of all of them in a forest and Dove, the blonde maid, touches like a butterfly, which, you know, butterflies themselves are, you know, psychopomps, which means that they can go between life and death. They are they help. They're symbolically a symbol of rebirth and regeneration and all of those things, and also can be quite intimidating because although they don't look like it, they are a symbol that like you're somewhere between, you know, life and death.
Yes, and as associated with the Cupid and Psyche story, butterflies indicate self-knowledge. So there is, in my opinion, a reason why you see the butterfly with the character of Dove, which again, we'll get into.
Are you thinking that she will be in possession of the right stuff for magic?
I think there's a lot more to her than meets the eye. And I think that the self-knowledge that she needs to possess is a vital part of the story. So we'll see. So I'm not surprised that there's a butterfly there, but I know, I'm so excited. A couple more things I want to mention, just details and cool things. We got another shot of that same ruined city again.
Right. And then there's like dust storm or something. Right?
Yes. It's being consumed by this huge dust cloud. So something's up. And then we see a few times we see this hooded figure that has a mouth, but no eyes. Or he's blindfolded, one of those. But either way, the mouth and no eyes. So this is, you know, they do not see, but they do consume.
Yeah,
they do eat.
This is a common symbol used in fairy tale and fantasy storytelling. It was used in Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series with the, you know, bad guys that go after them, their only mouth, right? And it's just like the ultimate symbol of the consumption of evil, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it, I thought that was very interesting. And there's a group of three that appear to be pursuing them. So it's one is, like I said, that hooded figure with the mouth. Mm-hmm. Another is this huge hulking figure that has his head inside a barbed cage.
Right.
And I don't know what's going on there, but that's really interesting. And I have to say, it's incredibly cool imagery. But he is, he's like the brawn of this three-person group that's pursuing them, this monstrous three-person group. And he has this head in a cage. It's wild.
And have you seen the third one?
I don't. The third one is like a small crouching figure. I haven't looked as closely at it.
Three.
So I don't know that one as well. Yeah. But they are. They're being pursued by these three different sort of figures of evil. And you see a number of times they're running from them. And at least once you actually see the tall member of Team Willow fighting the hooded figure.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get a redux of Rule.
Rule, oh my gosh, I'm back. So excited.
And it looks
so
like
excited.
Rule has a small, a younger companion now. So maybe his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely looks like a female brownie, which we've never seen female brownies before.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so excited about the line that he has in here because he's describing, you know, their adventures. And specifically, he says at the end, he goes, happy kissy ending. And
happy kissy ending.
Yes. This is the creators signaling to us. Yes. This is still a fairy tale. Everything will turn out all right in the end. And let me just say thank you so much because that's just so reassuring to hear him say that. And they put it in the trailer.
And if it's anything like Willow, if you speak it, it becomes reality.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's also a weird thing about this world so far that we understand the rules of.
Yeah.
And also thank you to Value Signal more to me, creators. Like, yes. This is what I'm here for. I'm here for adventure, growth, transformation, but also that everything ends up okay.
Yes. Yes. And so this is the main writer on the Willow series is Jonathan Kasdan, which is a whole other thing we need to discuss at some point. You know, like he was the writer of Solo and obviously Lawrence Kasdan's son. So it's a big thing that he's involved in this so heavily. I think he's considered the showrunner actually. And if he's writing that happy kissy ending, I'm holding you to that, Jonathan. Give it to me. So
absolutely. Rule is just so cute. I love him. I'm so happy that we have him back. I don't know. I love the brownies. I hope they come along. They're just great. I don't know. We need more brownies in our lives.
Mm-hmm. So there's another scene here that I want to call out, which is, so you see all of the members of Team Willow sitting on stumps in a forest, and all of a sudden, this group of, I'm going to call them bandits for now until we know who they are, they burst up out of the ground under flaps of moss. They were hidden under these blankets of moss, and they jump up out of the ground, and I immediately was like, oh, it's just like when Willow hid his army in the ground under tents, basically. Like, and they use the same thing. So again, you see that repeating of, you know, some of these things from the film. And I was so excited to see that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And those people seem to be the ones that had the flirty, like the leader seemed to have a flirty tete-a-tete with the tall member of Team Willow.
Yes. And members of this group also in some scenes appear to be wearing masks. So I do wonder if maybe Jade has some past association with them since we saw her wearing a mask in the other trailer. Mm. So you do see some of them wearing masks. So, and there's also, you know, possibly an association with Kale's mask from the film.
Right. Yeah. And she also has like sort of like, I don't know, some sort of artwork or something on her skin that like scarring or something like that.
Yes.
On her forehead. She's really cool looking.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that. We do see, and I don't remember what part of the trailer what it was at, but it looked like a skull face, but it also sort of looked like the skull was wearing Bavmorda's crown.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the stuff is very hard to tell what's happening. It can be ambiguous, but there's definitely some shots like that. And so if anyone else sees something that we missed, you know, please let us know, because there's just so much happening in this trailer. And it's so funny too, right? Because, you know, if they show you two, and I'm just going to be generous and say, if you put it together with the other trailers, we're saying maybe 2 minutes and 30 seconds of footage from what's going to be at least 9 hours.
Yeah.
Of this show. I mean, we're not seeing much here. If they're consistent with what a lot of shows have done recently, all the shots from the trailer are in like episodes 1 and 2.
Yes, exactly.
So
we also get a shot of sort of, I think, an underground. It reminded me a lot of the dwarven caverns from Lord of the Rings that they go to.
Yeah, but I also get the goblins. Ewok village. I also get Ewok village vibes from this. Yeah.
And it sort of seemed to be paired with trolls and like sort of a white version of the trolls.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's definitely not like, whereas Ewok village is like home and safety, this definitely is not safe. I mean, it's treacherous. You see, at one point, even Jade falls, you know, from one of the platforms. So, you know, it's definitely not a place that they are safe, at least at first. I also think I actually love when Willow sees the trolls and he's really unhappy about it. And it felt a lot like the way Indiana Jones reacts to snakes. Like, we know. Yeah, exactly. Willow hates trolls. We know this from the film. And he certainly doesn't like them anymore after facing them.
Yeah, or turning them accidentally into a dragon.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was also pretty terrible. I did want to call out one sort of symbolic moment, which was it looks like Jade has fallen into water and maybe can't swim. Mm-hmm. And Kit comes in and is coming to like save her.
Yes. Yeah. And I think this might go with another shot from the previous trailer, the teaser, that showed two hands reaching towards one another.
Oh, very TLJ.
Exactly. See, I told you it's all over the place.
I love there is actually this sort of fight scene again. Yeah. Girl, I think a woman figure.
I think it's Dove, because
you think it's Dove? Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look up on the, you know, the beach there where people, there's spectators, the one on the right is
Kit.
No, the one on the right is Jade and the one on the left is Kit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you also have the guy from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You could see him, yeah. But Willow and her are fighting and it looks like she's using like sort of like ice power and he's using his like green energy, which is really cool.
Well, and it's very obviously, especially the way that it's shot, like it's very obviously a training scene, you know. It's like, this is not a fight. No, there's no animosity here. They're, you know, like they've got spectators. There's a palm tree in the background. They're standing in water. They're fine. It's like sunset. It looks pretty, right? It's like, this is just their training, which is why, like I said, I think there's definitely more to Dove than meets the eye. And then there's this battle scene, and it looks like an Elwyn there. And so, again, I'm wondering, are we seeing a flashback?
I think we could be seeing a flashback to like what's happened in the intervening years. And I mean, I think that could be Warwick Davis. So.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I do know that it looks like they have at least one other Nelwyn that travels with them, at least for a brief period of time. Probably not the whole time, but they do have a few shots where there's a second Nelwyn with the band.
And we get this really cute shot of, I'm sorry, I have to look up your name. It's too much. I can't.
It's adorable. It's adorable though. It's so cute, that thing. Like it's like. It's animatronic or something, but I just love practical effects, especially with monsters. And so it's this cute, like giant frog creature. And I love him.
He is my son. Tony. Rivoli?
No, that's the actor's name. So yeah, we don't know the character's name.
We don't know the character's name. I'm just trying to call him by his actual name.
Got
and
it.
Not, yeah. So Tony Rivoli.
Revolori, I think.
Revolori. Yeah. So he was in Spider-Man, and we have this really amazing shot of him sort of like touching the nose of a sea creature, and like the eyes being so big, and like just, you know, it's giant puppy.
Yes, it's vibes. Very like hiccup and toothless, I think, to me.
Yeah.
So cute. Oh, yes. And then this shot, which we totally have to talk about, because who were those people?
Yes, absolutely. And so we have this moment where it in sort of like a misty or I don't know, something. We have a shot of Finn Razel and Sorsha.
Young Sorsha.
Young Sorsha. And then we have three of the adventurers kind of come through them and dispel them.
Yeah, it looks, so it might be a vision. I feel like it's a vision of the past, but we'll see.
Yeah, a vision of the past, or maybe like some sort of spell to help them find their way, or
yeah, maybe, you
know, something like that. But seeing the actress who played Finn Razel, like, I don't think she's still alive, so they might have just like animated her in there,
mm-hmm,
or something.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like Sorsha's outfit from Willow. So
yes, yes,
it's the past, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we get this great moment where Willow, you know, says, "You know, my friends," and we get a shot of all of Team Willow's adventuring party and all of the different cool stuff with the you know, crescendo of Willow's theme.
Yeah. So and I want to mention, and we can, you know, theorize a little bit about this later, but we only ever hear the threat, the villain, to the extent that it's an embodied threat, referred to twice. Once as him and once by what sounds like a masculine voice as us. So so it's there's presumably a him and an us. So maybe plural, it's not clear, but it's very, they're deliberately obscuring, you know, who the bad guy or the villain is here, which
what is
interesting.
What is the villain all about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
All right. And let's move on to the special look.
Evil is coming to destroy us all.
Well, that can't be good.
Elora Danon was destined to save our world. Her true identity was concealed even from herself.
We need to find her.
Do we, though? Because no one has actually ever come back. Mm-hmm.
To adventure is dangerous. But if you don't die, one day you may truly live.
Hang on. Did he just say that we'd all die?
Yes.
I knew it.
Wish someone told me. I'm really scared of dying.
This is all your fault.
What?
I just gotta say I'm feeling really energized and optimistic.
Run! Just relax.
I am relaxed.
You don't sound relaxed.
The magic's in you. You
just have to believe.
What the hell is that?
Don't worry about it.
Willow, original series streaming November 30th, only on Disney Plus.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dove, you're going to be Elora.
Yes, thank you.
No, I mean, there's no way.
So much more. There's so much more going on with that. But yes, I mean, Dove is 100% Elora.
Yeah, because she also has fallen in love with the prince, which if you are already like with the prince, it means you're going to become the queen or the so mm-hmm. she's like destined to be the empress, but also she's going to marry into the royal family and thus become the true empress.
Yes. Well, and it's, I mean, they really stopped messing around, because in the shot where they show baby Elora's birthmark, and then immediately after that, they show like an adult Elora's birthmark. Like, you can see long blonde hair. She's wearing the same like crisscross blue sweater and cream, like, you know, band around her waist. And I'm like, it's her. And it makes sense, because it says in there that her identity was hidden from her. So she's been raised in the
like humble beginnings,
yes,
et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. She's been raised in the castle as this kitchen maid, alongside, you know, Kit and Eric, the prince and princess of presumably Tira's Lean. And and she's, you know, just been raised there with them, but she doesn't know who she is. And you also see her wearing arm wraps, similar to Rey. So, you know, she's wearing arm wraps, which would cover up the birthmark so people can't see it. You see Willow covers it with his hand in one shot. And it just makes so much sense. You know, she's in possession of this magic. And when she learns who she is, then she is, you know, begins training with Willow. So again, super TLJ, the Rey and Luke parallels are extreme. And yeah, it just, it, I'm excited. I'm excited. Really am.
I'm super stoked. Oh my God. We did call out before we started recording that there is something really important about having three different femme maiden characters have different hair color, because it it more easily identifies that they're on different journeys. They're all going to go on transformational journeys, mythic journeys, but the experiences and how they're going to go about them is going to be different. And it helps us basically as the audience, you know, not conflate them, I guess. And that it's so refreshing to see multiple femme journeys going on at the same time.
Yeah. And at this point, I do want to actually give, you know, the tiny bits of information we have, which is very little. And also I would, you know, just say clearly to everyone, I would consider a lot of the information that's out there right now not to be very reliable. I've seen a lot of conflicting information. I've seen a lot of conjecture passed off as some kind of scoop. I wouldn't trust it. And even some of the stuff that we're saying might actually turn out to be wrong, because that's just how it goes with this type of show. But what we do know so far about who these characters are is, as we've said, we have Kit and Eric, who are the twins, prince and princess, son and daughter of Sorsha and Mad Mardigan. And then we have Jade, who apparently is an aspiring knight. It is suggested that she was raised with them, but that's another one of those things that I wouldn't consider to be reliable. I don't think that's supported by what we see in the trailers. So maybe they know her already, or maybe she's introduced to them in this show. We'll see. You know, but she comes with them. So Kit's the, you know, the girl with the short hair, and then Jade is Erin Kellyman with the red hair, and then Dove, who we believe has to be Allura, has blonde hair, the long blonde hair. And Dove, as we've said, is the kitchen maid.
I'm taking a good look at those arm wraps. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I told you.
covers Allura, because Allura's birthmark is like in the crook of her elbow. Yeah. And so interesting that they have hidden goddess stuff. Because as we talked about in our Willow movie deep dive, Allura Danann is like the goddess reborn, or like the child of the goddess. She is essentially the goddess on Earth.
Yeah. And the other parallel here is, remember we said she's a kitchen maid. She doesn't have combat experience. And, you know, she isn't as useful in a fight. And you see that a little bit in here where they're, you know, it looks like they're encouraging her to jump or something and she doesn't want to. And so, you know, you definitely see that she struggles maybe with some of the more physical aspects of this journey. And she's seen in one shot in this particular trailer hitting what looks like a troll with a frying pan.
I love her.
And I was immediately like, oh my God, because it's just like Disney's Rapunzel, who was also a lost or hidden princess with a secret restorative power.
Yep.
So I'm freaking out a little bit because, you know, and the long blonde hair and everything. I'm like, she's Rapunzel. I'm so excited. The maiden in the tower, like hidden away. I love it.
I think that there's a lot to be, it'll be really interesting to tell the reason why she was hidden from herself, you know, like why that choice was made. But it must have been some sort of threat to her.
Well, right? Or and then, from her again,
or from if there's her,
if there's a potential that if someone gets some vision that she might turn dark, then maybe they thought the best thing was to just hide from her who she was.
Yes. Oh, interesting. And then we deal with like the whole like who decides your fate situation, you know, and is fate really what it is? And oh my God, Missy, I'm so excited to talk about this show with you.
We're going to have so much fun.
All right.
Sorry. Just one more thing. So Willow's saying at one point, the magic is in you. You just have to believe. Again, it's so TLJ Luke. Again, it just is.
Yeah.
You know, the magic is inside you. You just have to find it. I'm so excited. I love all the parallels. I'm just so delighted that But and I know there are people that won't like that, that this is kind of hewing so closely to Star Wars, and they're going to wish that it was kind of moving away from it. And I love it, because to me, I think Star Wars has been lacking some of this fairy tale
magic. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff for a while. So I'm very happy to see it reemerge here.
Do you think that Eric, the prince, will be corrupted as a evil soldier and she has to go and get him? Because this would be a lost husband story then.
Mm-hmm. I think it's possible. I actually think okay. So we know that she insists on coming, mm-hmm. again, despite her lack of combat knowledge and ability. And so we know she's already on her lost husband journey, because we know they're in love before he is captured. Again, they have this kind of secret romance. And so, yes, she does go on a lost husband journey. But is it him being corrupted, or is it her? Because I still think there's a higher probability that she would be corrupted. So I don't know. I wonder if we might get a little bit of both. Maybe it's hard to tell. But yeah, he could be corrupted. It would certainly be more interesting if he was. I think that having to pull your lover back from the dark side is always
very sexy.
Love it. We love it. It's always amazing.
I don't. I think that they're like one of our dreams from a Raylo perspective was always that she would waken him up enough to like, and then have fallen for him to have to wake her up. There could be something in that. And again, we don't know how long this show is going to be on for. I know that they said one season at least, but they didn't say it necessarily wouldn't be more.
Yeah, they didn't say that they were going to end the story in one season.
Yeah, just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I mean is interesting, because depending on where they go with this, that could potentially mean that the season ends with like a character's fall.
Yeah.
You know, it might not end with them solving the problem. It might end with somebody being lost to the dark side, so to speak. Ooh. So the metaphorical death of one of the good guys.
Oh my God.
So I know. Oh my gosh. So great.
So good.
Yeah. And I just want to point out some of the settings that we see. So we see, you know, aside again from the kingdom, we see at one point there is at least one shot of what looks like Bav Morda's fortress. There's, as we said, that city that's been sort of, you know, crumbling into ruins. There is beautiful forest that they walk through. There is what looks like a beach, and there's a couple different beach views. Like there's sort of a, oh, we're resting and training beach, but there's also a creepy, we're fighting people beach. And at least one, hey, here's a skeleton of some giant creature beach. So there's a lot of beach in this whole thing, which is very interesting. And then what looks like some other kind of creepy fortress that they have to break their way into, which gets very frightening. And you see a character, might be Alora, walking through this, you know, glowing door. There's keyholes. There's all kinds of stuff happening.
I made a comparison of Rey from TFA and Dove. And I'm sold on this.
Yay!
It's so good. It's unbelievably good. And, you know, there's a reason she's wearing wraps, which is always like one of the things we wanted out of Rey. What is the reason you're wearing wraps on your arms, you know?
Well, especially style. especially when she covers up the scar in the last film, we thought that the revelation of the scar was going to be, we thought that was a psychological thing, right? That that she was covering it up because she didn't want to think about her connection to Ben. But then it was actually never uncovered in the film. So that kind of went nowhere. It actually ended up being not psychological on the part of Rey, but psychological on the part of the filmmakers who just didn't want to deal with that.
Didn't want to deal with it. Yeah.
So this,
there's actually a reason why.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We know why her arms are covered up in this one. So it'll be cool to see kind of when it's revealed, who it's revealed to. Like we know that based on, again, the shot where you see her arm, that it's going to be Willow realizing who she is. But, you know, will the others know who she is? You know, will Eric know who she is? I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, my God. This show. I'm so excited. Any other thoughts? As we prepare for the first episode of Willow.
Just, you know, what we said at the end of our episode about the film, I'm very, very excited to see three femme characters, leading this journey. It's going to be mm-hmm. about each of them and their loves and mm-hmm. their, you know, their choices. And then the rest of it is really a supporting cast, which is great, except obviously for Willow himself. And to that end, I'm excited to see what is his story about. I mean, is he a crone now? And what's going on? Is he a hermit? Why is he a hermit? You know, I'm very curious to see how he got to where he is and what the rest of his journey is. Because, you know, for those of you who listen to our Dark Feminine episode, the end of the journey after crone is mage. Mm-hmm. So is Willow going to get there and how does it happen? And I'm just very excited. And then, okay, the last thing I do want to mention then also is we said that the film was a story of parenthood. While there is some of that in this, I think we're going to see a lot from Sorcerer's perspective about being a mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Willow himself, especially with his daughter, I do think we're going to see that. I think that because we're focusing on a younger generation, it's going to be less of that. It's going to be more of a typical kind of
mythical
youth, a
transformation into adulthood.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we're going to get a lot more of that. So I am, you know, curious to see how they translate a lot of the themes that were so focused on parenthood in the film and make it a more youthful story in the show.
There's so much nurturing in Willow.
Yeah.
And so does that mean that nurturing itself is fundamental to Willow, or is it, you know, we're going to be exploring sort of more a traditional role in society, responsibility for the world around you in addition to yourself, mm-hmm. thematic elements that you get with coming of age stories.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And as I said, you know, I think that in the same way that Willow had to lean on his ability as a father, his ability as a farmer, you know, his mm-hmm. ability to cultivate and to care. And that was how he succeeded and defeated the evil in the original film. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to see a similar thing from Allura. So I think she's going to learn combat and violence. And we see her practicing with Charlandria's wand and learning magic and everything. So I think that we will see that. But ultimately, she's going to have to come to rely on what she knows, which, as we said, is she feeds people. She cooks. She cares for people.
Yeah.
Which is nurturing. Yes. Yeah. And I hope that's how we see her ultimately succeed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts on what we will see Val Kilmer in the show, whether we will see Val Kilmer or how? I know there was an article that he would be included somehow.
Yes. So we will not see him in the show. They've been quite clear about that. If you watch the interviews from D23, especially with Jonathan Kasdan, you know, they make very clear, like, he's not on screen. However, he's a significant part of the story. Mm-hmm. And so sort of what happened to Mad Mardigan and his legacy, I think, will be a huge part of these characters' journeys.
So cool.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. All right. I hope this gets you hyped for the show. We'll be here every week after each show, each episode, with a deep dive into the mythic and symbolic elements, as well as just us straight up fangirling. The show itself will be called Following Willow, because that's what we're going to be doing. It's such a great name for the show. I'm really looking forward to doing this with you, Missy.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right. That wraps up this episode. Missy, where can people find you if they're looking for you and all your thoughts online?
You can currently find me on Tumblr at All Girls Are Princesses.
You can also find me on Tumblr if you want to just read through all of my Willow brain dumps at What the Force, which is all one word. All right. Take care, everyone. Cheers. Thank you for listening to What the Force. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, your host. Our music is provided by Christy Carew for What the Force. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/whattheforce. We would like to thank all our patrons, especially those who love and are obsessed with What the Force. Melody, Night Huntress, In Wild Space, How Rude, Anna Perez, Neil, Joe Allen D, Christian Luca, Josh Johnson, Scott C, and Susan. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or other other pod apps. It helps people find the show. Check out our other channel on YouTube, What the Fiction. You can connect with us on Twitter at WT4Show, What the Force Podcast on Facebook, and our website, whattheforce.ca. We also have a Discord. Links are in the liner notes. Feel free to reach out and start a conversation. Cheers.